from the studios at Boise State Public Radio News. More Idaho Matters right now. The waterfall, known as the Niagara of the West, is showing off right now as large amounts of water flow over Shoshone Falls. Now, the falls, which are quiet for a few weeks, are getting a boost as the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation releases more water over Milner Dam to help push fish downstream. So, what does that mean for you? It means this is the time to check out the falls at Shoshone Falls Park, which is just east of Twin Falls. And joining us now to tell us more is John Hildreth. He is the principal engineer in Idaho Power's Water Resources Group. John, nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so for folks who have not been to Shoshone Falls, John, can you kind of describe it for us?
Yeah, it's about a 212-foot tall waterfall, 900 feet wide. It's one of the largest natural waterfalls in the United States, surpassing even the height of, as you mentioned, the famous Niagara Falls. We do have a project there. It's originally built in 1907. Shoshone Falls Power Plant was Idaho's Magic Valley's first plant. It was acquired by Idaho Power in 1916, and the plant has a diversion dam, a powerhouse, as well as a penstock poured through the cliffs there.
And it's not all of the time, right, that Shoshone Falls really kind of shows off like this. I mean, it's only certain times of the year, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So Idaho Power does provide a minimum scenic flow of 300 CFS over the falls during, the summer viewing season in hours. But really, kind of the big show is when there's water in addition to that 300 CFS. So a couple weeks ago, as you mentioned, the Bureau of Reclamation started releasing water at Milner Dam, and that will, be continuing for the next few weeks.
So I have to tell you, I mean, we took our kids to see it. I always do things pre and post pandemic, so I know it was pre-pandemic, but it was one of those years where the flow was really incredible. And I mean, it's a sight to see.
Yeah, it really is. Some of those big years, I don't know exactly when you saw, but 2017 was a kind of a recent year.
That was probably the year.
Yeah, and it was just, very large snowpack. Everyone remembers Snowmageddon, and really did produce a spectacular show at the falls.
And talk about, so not just how the falls look, but I think the park itself is really great because, you can park and there are different viewing areas, to see really just how majestic these falls are.
Yeah. The city of Twin Falls does run the park there, which does have some platforms to kind of look over the falls and, really kind of see them in their kind of true beauty there. And it's really just a great facility out there.
Mm-hmm. So the falls were pretty quiet earlier this year. Is that because I'm assuming we just had kind of a drier winter? I mean, you mentioned Snowmageddon in 2017. We didn't have anything like that this year.
Yeah, really the last couple years have been a pretty significant drought in kind of that Upper Snake Basin, which is what water managers kind of term that Snake River above Milner, really from the headwaters up in the Yellowstone all the way down. And so, ultimately just kind of a couple years of drought has really reduced river flows and really kind of, created some tough conditions from water supply standpoints. But this year, we did have a fairly good snowpack up there. I think it was, 138% of normal in early April, and really did produce, some additional runoff that was able to be, essentially released out of the flow augmentation from the Bureau of Reclamation.
So I know a lot of the water, John, in the Snake River is diverted to irrigation to help grow around 500,000 acres of crops every year. So what role does Idaho Power play when it comes to actually controlling the flow of the water over Shoshone Falls?
Yeah, great question. So, Idaho Power doesn't directly control the upstream flow rates in the Snake River above Shoshone Falls. But we do manage, how the water goes through the complex there and ultimately the water management as it occurs through the falls. So, we basically have that 300 CFS or additional flows when the water is higher. And ultimately, we've kind of developed some structures over the recent years to try to move that water around over the falls to kind of create the greatest aesthetics that we can. So that's some of the work that we've been doing over the full course of the last couple of years. We also have some future work planned to just continue to make that, as aesthetic for viewers as possible.
So what is the minimum stream flow usually during the summer over the falls, and then compare that to how much higher it is right now?
Yeah, so typically we're releasing 300 CFS over the falls. That's about what the flow would be. Milner tends to be zero during much of the summer months, and you see those return flows from the springs and ultimately the return flows from canals coming back in, and it's about that 300. Right now, you're probably seeing about 2,000 CFS going over the falls, and that'll likely continue for the next couple weeks.
So how does that higher stream flow actually help these young salmon and steelhead?
That'd be kind of a question for the biologist, but ultimately, additional water within the system, it does help those out migrating fish.
Some of the water goes through Idaho Power's hydroelectric power plant, right? So then where is the plant exactly? I think you mentioned it's near the falls, but how much electricity does it generate?
Yeah, so the plant's on the north side of the river. You can actually see the powerhouse there, when viewing the falls. It generates about 14.7 megawatts, which is actually enough power to, power approximately 11,300 homes.
So, how does the water flow look for the rest of the summer if we take out, this particular time?
Yeah, no, very good question. So, currently right now, as I mentioned, the Bureau of Reclamation's releases will last another couple weeks. We'll then actually transition to some Idaho Power releases at Milner. We have a small amount of storage water in American Falls that we release at about 1,500 CFS for 2 weeks. So that'll provide an additional kind of bump to the falls, just maybe not as much water as is occurring right now. And then after that, it's likely that irrigation would control the river flows at that point, and we would be back to, approximately 300 CFS. I did mention that we, saw some good snowpacks. So I think as far as recovery from those droughts of 2021 and 2022, we're optimistic that we'll continue to see improvement in the system. But, kind of 1 year is not enough to fully recover from those multiple years of drought.
So how long do folks have to really see the falls, with all of this water going over Milner Dam right now?
Yeah, I'd say with the kind of current releases that you're looking at, you'd really have till kind of the week of the 10th to get there and see them at the kind of the current release rate. The Idaho Power releases will last another couple weeks, so really kind of till until that last week of July.
And let's talk about kind of the accessibility of the falls, because they're inside a city park. So it's fairly easy for folks to get to the park, right, John?
Yeah, yep. That is correct,
And
yeah.
but oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to say if they did need information about accessibility and those types of things, the Twin Falls website would be a great resource for them to take a look at.
So what would you tell somebody maybe who's thinking about seeing the falls and maybe hasn't seen it before? Because I think sometimes people think, like, is it really worth a day trip to go see, some waterfalls?
Yeah, I think it's one of the destinations of Southern Idaho, and I would really recommend going and checking it out. And especially if you've maybe seen it in the past and, know someone who hasn't, it'd be a great time to take someone along and, show them that for the first time.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I mean, it's honestly one of the neatest things I think I've seen, in all the years I've lived in Idaho. And just for folks who are thinking about it, John, you made such a good point about going on the city's website to find out information. Because if I remember correctly, and things could have changed, you're gonna wait in your car for a little bit to get into the park sometimes, because this is such a popular time for people to see the falls. So I would say have some patience, so you because you will get
Yeah,
in,
absolutely.
you, right? You will get in, but it might take you might be in line for a little while.
Yeah.
And but it is definitely a sight to see. Well, John, it is such a pleasure to talk about this. I mean, it really is such an amazing site, the hidden gem that we have here in the Gem State. So thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.